Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. How are you doing with that?
Amen.
That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Are you withstanding in the evil day?
Yes.
And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore. Having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Father, we come before your throne this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we've left our homes to come to this house, the house of God, to an assembly, a gathering of believers. We come with purpose this morning. We come, Lord, to sit at the feet of Jesus. We want to learn. We want to grow. We want to understand. We pray, Lord God, that you would just send your Spirit upon us today. Help us, Lord, to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. Help us, Lord, to know the truth, because the truth will set us free. Help us understand that you are the way and the truth and the life. Help us understand how important truth is in our lives, and how bad our lives can go when we don't live in truth. So Lord, we just come here with you this morning. We just pray that you would just calm our hearts and clear our minds. God, you would send your angels charge concerning us, that you would just guard and protect this place. It would be truly a sanctuary, both physically and spiritually, Lord. And may your will be done in this place. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say what?
Amen.
Y'all may be seated. Good morning. Good to be with you this morning. Okay, how many people in here have ever flown on an airplane before? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever flown in an airplane and you ignored the flight attendant at the very beginning when you're all settling in, right? And they stand up front and they start speaking. And are you one of those that possibly ignore that individual when they're talking about seat belts and, oxygen, it, just in case, you know, how many of you ignore this? How many of you, I have. How many of you have been on an airplane and you hit turbulence that got your attention? So I have had the privilege of traveling around the globe, this amazing world, this sphere. The Bible calls it a sphere. How did God know that the world was round before Christopher Columbus? Because God is, he's really smart. He created it. Flying back from Europe, and we were on the plane, man, and we went into it. And you know, when you start hitting those bumps and they start warning you a little ahead of time, and the flight attendants go back to their seats, and all of a sudden, you know, before you know it, you start hitting the first one, the second one, and the thing starts going. If you look real closely, people start tightening their belt. Tightening their belt. On this flight, everybody was all of a sudden paying attention, and there were people on this flight that were crying and praying. You ever had one of those? I was talking with a friend of mine who's a flight attendant. We were talking about this Alaska flight. Do you remember this one? Interesting. Happened a few weeks ago on an Alaska Airlines flight. They were at 16,000 feet and the door blew out. That's bad. It was so interesting talking with her. She said, Pastor Frank, I'm so glad it wasn't at 32,000 feet. If this door had blown out at 32,000 feet, they had just taken off. They were ascending. They were at 16,000 feet. The door gets sucked out. Small problem. She says, if that had have been at cruising altitude, at 32,000 feet, and people had gotten up to go to the bathroom, and we as flight attendants were going down asking if you'd like peanuts or something like that, if that had happened at 32,000 feet, it would have been really bad. People would have been sucked out of the airplane that didn't have their seatbelt on. As a matter of fact, the guy that was sitting in the seat of... Did you guys read about this? His shirt got sucked off of him. Did you hear about that? People's cell phones got sucked out of the airplane and they found him on the ground still working. Go Apple, right? So immediately what they do is they immediately descended to 10,000 is when we can breathe without oxygen, you know, those things, and they landed that thing. Here's the deal. Seatbelts are really, really important. I want you to stir this in. They're really important in turbulence on an airplane, and they're very helpful if the door gets sucked out. A few weeks ago, welcome to the third Sunday of 2024. I've been sharing this the last few weeks. Pastor Frank, I thought 2023 was going to be a bad year because of the war in Ukraine. Pastor Frank, I think this year is even going to be worse. We've still got the war in Ukraine, and we have this horrible war in the Middle East, and we have an election year. Pastor Frank, this can be a bad year. I disagree. I think this year is going to be a great year. I think this is going to be an amazing year. I think God is going to do incredible things in the hearts and the lives of people this year. People, God is still on his throne. God still knows what he's doing. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you. Right? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. This is going to be a great year. But in order for this year to be a good year, you know what we're all going to have to do in here? May I suggest that we tighten our belt a little bit? The belt of truth. Incredible. The belt of truth. The Apostle Paul begins speaking. The book of Ephesians, I pray that you read it this year. And if you've read it again. And don't just have understanding of it. Stir it in. The book of Ephesians is a book in the New Testament written by the Apostle Paul. Many call it a what-to-do manual for those that are followers of Jesus. It's a beautiful manual of Christian life. And when you read it, it has a beautiful journey throughout the epistle. And Paul begins in Ephesians 1 by talking about who we are in the eyes of heaven because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. When you read Ephesians chapter 1, you'll read over and over again, in him, in Christ, in him, in Christ. It's who you are, a child of God, in Christ, in him. You're holy and blameless, in him. You are an adopted child of God, in him. He's trying to explain to you and to me who we are in the eyes of heaven because of what Jesus has done upon our lives. And it's really cool when you just read that. He pauses, and it's in verse 18 and 19. He says, he starts praying for all of us. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is this incredible power that's been given unto you who believe. It's interesting how Paul tells us this is truth of who you are in the eyes of heaven in Christ. And I pray that you would understand it. And honestly, people, in my life, it's been transformational for me as my own spiritual journey. As I've begun to learn who I am within the eyes of heaven, it is just liberating and it's beautiful. And it's cool because the Apostle Paul prays that we would understand the power of Christ. And then in Ephesians 6, he says, put on the power of Christ, apply it. How do I apply Jesus in my life? How do I apply the power of Jesus in my life? And Paul says, hey, let me give you like a metaphor. It's like an armor of a Roman soldier. And the very first piece that he begins speaking about is truth. Ephesians chapter 6, 13 and 14. Here it is. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. That's after he's saying, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Well, how do I do that? Put on the armor of God. Well, what is it? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, because they're coming and they are here. We withstand and then we stand. We withstand. There's a defiance. I love that song. There's a defiance in our faith. We withstand in our faith and we stand. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, you stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Could you say that with me this morning? Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Say it again. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. We fasten it on. The power of Christ is manifested in our lives in truth. Truth. That's a note. Note number one. Write this note down, and when you go in small groups this week, unpack this one. The power of Christ flows through our lives in truth. 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 How important is truth in your life? So Pastor Frank, so I personally have been reading. So have you ever read the book Jeremiah? I named it my youngest son Jeremiah, and I grabbed my old Bible that I first started reading when I was a brand new Christian. And I remember I've been reading it again in my quiet times in the morning for just me and Jesus. And I've been rereading the book of Jeremiah, and I've just been so taken. Jeremiah was a prophet that God called to judge his people, and he called him to speak into his people that have totally blown him off. A prophet is somebody who comes and speaks on behalf of God, and it's usually when God's really upset with you, he sends a prophet into your life. And God's really upset with his people in the book of Jeremiah, and he says, if you don't stop this, I'm going to judge you. And there's a phrase, and it says this, and I found it's in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 28. I've been meditating on this. I want to share it with you. Jeremiah 7, 28 says, therefore say to them, so this is God, right? This is the nation that has not obeyed the Lord its God or responded to correction. Truth has perished. It has vanished from their lips. Truth has perished. It's vanished from their lips. Another translation says, truth perishes upon the lips of my people. Truth perishes upon the lips of my people. And I thought that's so interesting. Imagine their truth exists, but as somebody's speaking, it just dies right off their lips. Truth is just perishing off the lips of my people. And I've thought about that. Like, isn't that an interesting visual? And God's saying, my people, you know the truth, but it's just perishing on your lips. It's being slaughtered. And truth exists, and you guys are butchering truth. Is truth struggling upon the lips of our people in our society today? Yes. I've just been meditating on this, kind of in a big picture thing. I've been looking at that going, wow, isn't that cool? For individuals and for societies. Hey, people, I grew up watching Wonder Woman with Linda Carter, okay? We're living in a society today that's wondering what a woman is. Hey, I realize that there are people that are struggling in this, and we are to love people and to be kind to people and compassionate with people that are struggling in this. But you never forsake truth when you love people. You don't love people and get rid of truth, and you don't have truth and be mean to people. But a woman is a biological female. It's science. It's X chromosomes and Y chromosomes. It's biological truth. Okay? It's just biological truth. Be angry at it. Don't be angry at it. It's truth. It's just the way it is. Right?
Yes.
See, I have always seen myself. Here's a confession. I have always seen myself as almost like a Christian feminist. Can I possibly say that? I have been so for women's rights, especially after becoming a follower of Jesus. When you read the teachings of Jesus, he liberated the status of woman, equalized them. He calls them disciples. Do you know who the first individual was that saw him come up out of the grave? A woman, Mary Magdalene. Jesus elevated the status of women. I've always been somebody who says we have to elevate the daughters of Eve, but at the same time, I don't have to beat down or punish the sons of Adam. There is a biblical way of honoring both in the name of Jesus. Do you understand? And I've always been this way. Hey guys, the daughters of Eve have had a bad deal in human history. The daughters of Eve have been treated poorly in human history. And I'm all for honoring the daughters of Eve and lifting them to who they are. Where are the women's rights groups in our country today? When you see a biological male competing in women's sports and winning women's events, and I'm sitting here watching this going, this is so unfair and so cruel to these beautiful daughters of Eve that have worked so hard to compete and be good in their field. And then some biological male shows up and starts winning this. Is this wrong? Is truth struggling upon the lips of our society, anyone? I mean, honestly, that's an amazing thing when you, God says, truth is perishing upon the lips of my people. Is truth perishing upon the lips of our people in our society today? How can society be doing this? It's so cruel to women. And they're doing it. It's happening. I can't believe this. I honestly can't believe this is happening. And I feel so bad for my sisters. This is going to annihilate women's sports. Anything that does physically, right? How many of you in here believe that 2 plus 2 equals 4? Raise your hand. How many in here don't believe that? It's a mathematical truth. 2 plus 2 is 4. You can't fly a spaceship to the moon if you don't abide by the mathematical truths of mathematics. It's just the way it is. What happens if you spend more money than you make? Anyone? You go in debt, right? You go in debt. And if you do that long enough, you're going to go broke. It's a fiscal, it's a financial truth. Ask the accountants in the room today. It's just the way it is. What does Greece and Argentina have in common? Does anyone know? They're two countries that went bankrupt. Bankrupt. Here's the truth. This is the U.S. national debt. Do you know that we spend $2 billion a day in interest on our debts as a country? Is that a lot of money? Do you know that we're in debt? $34 trillion. How long can America go on spending more than it makes? Does anyone know? Most economists say in the next 20 to 30 years, if America continues on course of doing what it's doing today, it will be completely bankrupt in 20 to 30 years. How old do you anticipate that you'll be in the next 20 to 30 years? What will be the ramifications, the repercussions of this country going bankrupt? What happens to Social Security or the national defense? What happens to, think about that. This is a mathematical truth. It's a fiscal truth. It is what it is. And right now we're spending $2 billion a day paying interest on the debt we have. And does it seem that either political party is even concerned with this? Do you know that we're in election year this year? Do you think anybody's going to talk about this? Do you know why? Because they want your vote. It seems that both parties just don't seem to talk about this. And yet somebody's going to have to pay for this. Some generation of Americans are going to have to one day deal with a truth. It's just truth, people. It's just a mathematical equation. It's just like you. If you spend more money in credit cards, pretty soon, you are so in debt with your credit cards, you can't even pay the interest on your credit cards. When that happens to a country goes bankrupt. Greece, Argentina, who's going to bail out America? See, there's a thing in this country called civic truth or political truth. Check this out. Is it possible in an election year that maybe, possibly, maybe, A politician might maybe lie to you this year? Maybe. Is it at least possible? Why would they do this? Because they want power. And in this country, not in Iran, not in China, and not in Russia, they're dictatorships. In this country, for people to get power, they need your vote. So they need you to vote for them in order to get power. That's how this country works. If any president running, any person running for president says, if you elect me, I will get you money, is lying to you. Presidents don't write checks. Congress does. It's a civic truth. It's just truth. If any president says, if you vote for me and I'll make sure that I can forgive your debts, they don't have the authority to do that. Congress does. It's a civic truth. Here in America, the country of America is placed upon the vision of the Declaration of Independence. You know, we are all created with certain inalienable rights by God, and the purpose of the government is to serve the people, not the people to serve the government. It's the presupposition, it's the vision on how America operates. And then the rules on how America operates is based in the Constitution and on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. There's three branches of government: executive, legislative, and judicial. You guys, this is a civic truth. This is the rules that we play by in America, right? And the executive branch can't do the money thing. It's Congress. They create it. Pray for President Biden. He's our president. He needs our prayers. In the last election, he promised people, if you vote for me, I'll get rid of your student debts. And everybody said, you don't have the authority to do that. You can't write checks. Well, I'm going to do executive privilege. So I'm going to bypass the rules of the Constitution. And when he was signing it, Nancy Pelosi told him, you have no authority to do this. And she's a part of his own party. You can't do this. Well, I'm doing it anyway. And then the people that make sure that you play well is called the Supreme Court. And they said that's unconstitutional. And there are a lot of really angry young people in this country that feel that they were lied to. If you read, I think 1 in 7 or 8 of them are paying back their student loans out of protest because I was told that I would have my debts forgiven. And they're now angry. They feel like they were lied to. They were. There's probably never been a generation of Americans more lied to than this one in our country. And I feel bad. I feel bad. Do you know how important truth is? People, there's biological truth, there's fiscal truth, there's mathematical truth. We just live in truth. It's just the way things are. There's civic truth. The way you measure truth, it's in the realm of reality. Truth is truth. Amen. Truth is truth. Is truth suffering upon the lips of the people in our society today? The answer is yes. People, truth does exist, and it's totally tested within the realm of reality. And people, as a follower of Jesus, we are to understand truth, and we're to put on truth, because Christ, the power of Jesus, flows in your life in truth. Truth is freedom. Truth is reality. Truth is truth. Jesus said this. In John 8:32, he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth is your ally. Truth is a good thing. You want truth. And if truth is a good thing, then non-truth will hurt you. If you think that you can, if you drive better as a drunk, Chaplain Frank, right? I get to ride around sometimes. I love doing the DUI stops. I drive better when I'm drunk. The guy's driving on the wrong side of the road. He's swerving all over the place. I'm not drunk. You've just peed your pants. You're drunk. And actually, you're a danger to society. I drive better. That, you might think that's true. That's not true. You might believe that's true for you, but that truth that you believe is true is not true. And you're endangering yourself and other people by embracing that. And you have the right to remain silent. Right? Your alcohol content's off the charts. You're a danger. People, truth is your ally. Non-truth. Truth. Lies bring bondage. Lies bring pain. Lies bring hurt. Lies bring chaos to your life. Truth liberates you. Jesus says it'll set you free. And if Jesus's power flows in your life through truth, I'm convinced that Satan's power flows in your life through lies. See, truth is truth, and it starts with big truth, and it evolves into all truth. What is the most important truth you need to know in life? People, there's biological truth, there's mathematical truth, there's civic truth. What truth is Paul talking about when he says put on the belt of truth in your life? He's talking about all truth, by the way, but he's starting with the biggest truth. Check this out. In Ephesians 1:13, before Paul says this, and his whole epistle is just a journey, he says, in him, Paul says in Ephesians 1:13, in him, in Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth. There's a message of truth. What is the most important truth all of us need to understand in here? It's the truth of your salvation. Note number two, write this down. The greatest truth to know is the gospel truth. You can believe other lies if you want to, but if you blow off this one, you're in big trouble. The most important truth that you can understand and apply and fasten onto your life is called the gospel truth. It's the greatest truth, the most important truth that you need to know is the truth of your salvation. Do you understand it? Yes. Most of us in here, I hope, if you've been coming here for this church for many, if this is new what I'm about to say to you, I should be fired, okay? What is the message of truth? How good do you have to be to go to heaven? Answer? You got to be morally perfect. Morally perfect people go to heaven, right? How good do you have to be to go to heaven? Jesus says, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's called moral perfection or holiness. Good people don't go to heaven. Morally perfect people go to heaven. Do you know any? For the rest of us, I've got really good news. It's called the gospel. And the gospel means good news. See, here's the truth. God, in his love and mercy and grace, has sent his Son to earth to pay for our sins, our morally messed up lives. See, we offend God in word, action, thought, and deed. He's holy, he's righteous, and you're not. And God, there's these moral boundaries of how we have relationship with people. God says, be ye perfect, because he is, and he's holy. And for you actually to enter into his presence, you contaminate his being. It's this wild theological truth. Heaven is holiness, and you've got to become holy to be there. How good do I have to be to go to heaven? Well, you need to be perfect. Jesus says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the most religious people in the society, you're not going to heaven. Everybody at the Sermon on the Mount was bummed hearing Jesus say that. He's telling them the truth. God, in his love and mercy and grace, has sent his Son into your life that Jesus upon the cross would take your imperfections, your sins, your evil that you've done. Is it just for a judge to let an unjust thing go unpunished? Is that right? Imagine somebody murders 25 people and they go before a judge and the judge says, eh. Is that just? It's not. God judges us in moral perfection through Christ. Jesus pays our debt upon the cross. God can't let a crime go unpunished, and Jesus pays our debts before a holy God. It's called atonement. It's a beautiful thing. People, when Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the prophesied one, Jesus the Son of God, hung on a cross, how much of your sins did he pay for? 50%? 50? Maybe 75? How about 95? 98? Here's the message of your salvation. This is cool. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. He himself, Peter says, right? He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Well, how much of our sins did he bear on himself on the cross? He says he bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you are healed. Well, how much of your sins have been taken away? And how much have you been healed? Isn't that a good thought? 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also died for sins. Here's the great news. Once. For Christ also died for sins once. For how much sin?
All.
For all. All the just, that's him. For the unjust, that's
us.
Everybody raise your hand. That's you. Hate to tell you that. That's just reality. He's God. He's holy. He's the just. All of us are unjust in the eyes of a holy God. He sends Jesus because you can't pay this. But he loves you so much. He sends Christ. For Christ also died for sins once for all. The just for the unjust. So that we might bring, so he might bring us to God. Having been put to death in the flesh, but he's been made alive in the spirit. Jesus' job is to bring you to the Father, holy and blameless. And he does it by his work on the cross. And here's a great... So all this is so true that the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, says this in Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from... How much of your sins? He's released you from sins. Are you kidding me? By his blood. He's released you. This is really good news. This is the most important message. If I'm supposed to live in truth and walk in truth, if the truth will set me free, the most important truth, truth begins in the big picture first and then comes down into reality. This is the big truth. Christ has paid for all of your sins. All means all, and that's all that all means.
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful? That's note number three. This is the message of the Bible. This is the message of Jesus. The gospel truth is that Jesus paid for all your sins on the cross. Dude, it's so cool. Do you know the last words that he said? Well, he's on the cross. He says it is finished. Jesus is hanging on a cross for 6 hours that Good Friday. It's good for us. It wasn't good for him. It was his bad day, but it's our great day. We call it Good Friday because it's the day that he's paying off all our credit cards. You understand? He's paying off all our sin and shame before a holy God. He's making me cleansed. And that's Ephesians chapter 1, by the way. Holy and blameless. This is amazing. This is great news. Do you want truth? This is the truth. It is finished, paid in full. How far is from the east as to the west? Has anyone ever tried to measure that? Did you know that your sins has been cast as far as from the east as to the west? I'm so glad God didn't say north to south. Because we can measure that from the poles. But God says, ah, now, your sins have been cast as far as from the east as to the west. Measure that one. That's where your sins are. In Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 21. Here is truth. You need to understand this and for your lives tighten it. Put on the belt of truth. Here it is. Are you ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 21. Probably my favorite sections of truth of the Bible. I want this on my tombstone. Therefore, if anyone is in Jesus or in Christ or in the Messiah, the new creation has come. Isn't that beautiful? The day you said yes to Christ, you were changed in the eyes of heaven because you just instantly was, all your debts were just washed away. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. And all this is from God, who reconciles us to himself through Jesus. And he gives us this ministry of reconciliation. People that have been forgiven, tell the message and the story and how you can be forgiven too. People that are saved, tell other people how to get saved, right? That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. How much of your sins is not counted against you? All of your past sins? Is that true? Yes or no?
Yes.
How about all your present sins? Are they being counted? Are they not being counted? How about the one you're doing a week from next Thursday?
Yes.
Is that one not counted against you too? All. Do you love him yet?
Oh, yeah.
Do you realize how amazing Jesus is? This is the gospel. This is freedom. That God reconciled the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he's committed to us the ministry of reconciliation, that we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore you, Paul is saying to the church in Corinth, we implore you on Christ's behalf, right? Be reconciled to God. How? Jesus. God made him who knew no sin, that's the Messiah, to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He made him who knew no sin become sin on our behalf, that he takes our sins on him and he gives us his righteousness. It's the ultimate exchange. It's like you driving the most beat up piece of junk car and someone coming up to you in a brand new Ferrari and saying, give me your keys and I'll give you this. It's the ultimate exchange. And you're going, this is amazing. He made him who knew no sin become sin on our behalf, that we become righteous. Did you know that in Jesus right now, in the eyes of heaven, because of what Christ has done for you, for those of you that have accepted Christ in your life, that you are seen by the eyes of heaven as righteous, not because of you, but because of Jesus. We're going to be doing baptisms in a few weeks here. Christian baptism is a beautiful thing. The early Christians would put white robes upon as they would enter into in the waters of baptism because it's symbolic. It's who I am. I'm washed. I am a child of God. All the stuff I did is gone in Christ, in the eyes of heaven, never to be spoken of again, never to be remembered anymore. It's not, that's who you were, but you're a new creation in Christ. It's awesome. Amen. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For it's by grace that you've been saved. That's a word that means unmerited favor. None of you in here deserve the blood of Jesus. It's by grace. It's just God giving you something you don't deserve. None of you in here deserve heaven. But God in his love and mercy and grace, he sends you Christ. It's by grace that you've been saved, through your faith in accepting Christ. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift from God. This whole thing is by God's love and mercy and grace to you. It's not by your works, so that no one can boast. None of you in here can say, man, I'm going to heaven, I deserve it. You did nothing.
That's right.
Jesus did it all. And you take him, you're like, this is awesome. It's by grace that you've been saved through faith. This not from yourselves, it's a gift from God. Merry Christmas. Jesus is a gift from God to you for your life. And this is really important truth. If there's any truth that you need to know as you journey on earth, this is the big one. Write this down. The gospel is Jesus plus nothing. It's not Jesus plus some religious work. It's not Jesus plus you going to church every Sunday. It's not Jesus plus you reading the Bible every day. It's not Jesus plus you never cussing again. It's not Jesus. It's not you are being saved because Jesus and some religious worth. It's Jesus plus nothing. Even water baptism doesn't save you. It's symbolic and you should do it. Can you imagine the poor thief on the cross? Lord, remember me today in paradise. And Jesus says, man, I really liked you, but you haven't been baptized, so you're going to hell. Really? No, he says, dude, you'll be today with me in paradise. Faith. Faith. It's not Jesus plus anything that you get there. It's Jesus plus nothing. And this is the good news. People, please understand this. And would you please just tighten that a little bit on your belt this year? When you're flying through life, this is truth you need to tighten deep. And you need to stir this in your life. This is who I am. And this is what's different from Jesus and every other religion in the world. Because every other religion in the world is salvation through moral effort. I need to be better so I get to go to heaven. Note number 4, write this down. Religion is salvation through moral effort. There's heaven, and how good do I have to be to get to heaven? How good do I have to be so God accepts me? How many good deeds do I have to do to outweigh the bad deeds so then when I die, I get to go to heaven? Religion, all religions, Islam, Hinduism, Judaism, moral effort. How good do I have to be to go to heaven? Write this down. Note number 6. The gospel is salvation by grace through faith in Jesus. It's not your work. It's so different. Religion is working your way up to heaven. Here's the deal. God in his love and mercy and grace has worked his way to you through his son Jesus. And the work that's been done on your behalf was his. He did all the heavy lifting. It's over. He paid your way. It's not you doing anything except just accept Christ. This is the gospel. And when you do and you say yes to Jesus, you are imputed righteousness and now you are totally cool between you and heaven. Is this great news? The gospel is God loves you so much that he sent his son into your life. Jesus hung on the cross for you. Are you guys with me this morning? Pastor Frank, I already know this. Amen. Amen. If you didn't and you've been here for any length of time, I should be fired. Because this is the message. Religion is salvation through moral effort. And by the way, if Jesus is wrong and all the other religions are right, how good do you have to be in order to get there? How good is good enough? If the cross isn't true and you need to work your way up there, how good do you have to be to get there? How much moral effort do you need to make in order to be... How many good deeds outweigh the bad deeds? As in Islam, right? The scales of justice. Lo, Allah is merciful on the scales. May your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. And hopefully you get there, right? Through the 5 pillars. How good is good enough? How good do you have to be? Okay, back to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Ready? Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Moral perfection. Good people don't go to heaven. Morally perfect people do. Do you know any? For everyone else, it's the gospel. I got great news for all the rest of you in here that aren't morally perfect. For all you sinners like me, here it is. You are a wicked sinner, but Jesus is a powerful Savior. Write this down. Note number 7, religion focuses on what I do or don't do. All religions do that. Here's a beautiful one. Number 8, write this down. The gospel focuses on what Jesus has done. Religion, Jesus. They're completely different. Religion is do, D-O. The gospel is D-O-N-E. Done. Religion is do. I got to do more. I got to be better so God will like me. No. It's done. It is finished on the cross. The truth, the belt of truth begins here. It's interesting. Paul says that the power of Jesus flowing in your life, put on the power of Christ in your life. In Ephesians 1, he prays that you would understand this power that's been given unto you who believe. And then he says in Ephesians 6, I need you to apply this power to your life. Put on the power of your life. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm. Put on truth. Putting this in your life is power. This is the truth. Put this on and tighten it. Put this on and tighten it. All of us in here are great sinners, but we have a greater Savior. This is the greatest truth that you can know, people. Okay? This is the one. Everything flows from this. In Ephesians 4:21, here's a great verse as we come close to the end here. Ephesians 4:21 says this, when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. Did you know that all truth is in Jesus? Did you know that all truth originates from Jesus, flows from Jesus? Do you know that He is the way and the truth and the life? Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Wow. Do you know that all truth flows from Christ? All truth. Do you think Jesus understands biological truth? Oh, totally. He actually created the X and the Y chromosomes. He completely understands biological truth. He created it. Jesus created the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve. He created Adam and Eve. He totally understands this one, okay? Do you think Jesus understands mathematical truth? He created truth. Jesus was a carpenter. He was a man that had to cut 2x4s. Don't you think he was measuring? Do you think that a carpenter understands math? Anyone? Jesus, as he entered our world, entered into the laws, into these scientific laws. He walks in them. He understands them. He understands. Do you think Jesus understands the politics of broken humanity? Anybody? Do you know that he entered humanity in broken politics? The reason why Joseph had to go to Bethlehem was because there was a civil war that broke out in the Roman Empire. And Caesar Augustus won. And after he had won this massive civil war within the Roman Empire, he wanted to find how many people he had in his empire so he could tax them. And everybody had to go to their hometown. Joseph was from Bethlehem. He had to take Mary, who's pregnant. Jesus, him coming into the world, he enters politics by being born. It was politics that got prophecy fulfilled. The Messiah comes from Bethlehem. People, all truth flows from Jesus. All truth. He understands truth. In Him is truth. He is truth. Last note. Here it is. The belt of truth is putting on what Jesus did and who Jesus is in your life. The belt of truth in Ephesians chapter 6. What is that? It's putting on what Jesus did and who Jesus is for your life. That's clicking on the belt. And when you do this, all of a sudden, all the things that don't make sense in the world begin to make sense. When you start walking with Jesus, all of a sudden the truth of reality begins to unfold upon our lives. From big stuff to little stuff. And Jesus teaches us how to interpret truth and to walk in truth and how to live in truth. Every time I'm kind of looking at something, I always go, I wonder what Jesus would say to this. Right? By the way, if somebody can come up out of the grave, you should probably listen to them because they might be smarter than you. Yep. He is not confused on anything. Amen. For me to understand this has brought great healing in my life. You know, Jesus helps me to walk in truth with how to deal with my mom who died when I was 9 years old when she had pancreatic cancer. Do you know that damaged me as a human being big time? I still have these memories of watching as a little boy, just seeing that. And until I met Christ, I never could figure out how to process that in my life. How to walk in truth with my mom passing away before my very eyes. Struggling with that. And then I met Christ. And Jesus began to walk me through it. And I have peace. And I can't wait. I know where she is. Man, walking with Jesus with my own sin and shame and guilt. Seeing who I am in the mirror and then realizing Jesus going, that's who you once were, Frankie. That's not who you're not anymore. Don't you realize I took that away? I took that one away. I took that one. That one too. Gone, 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 gone. Wow, Lord, learning who I am, stirring in truth in my life completely changes who I am, how I see myself. Do I see myself in truth or in lies? Do you know if Satan can get you to believe a lie, he'll control your whole life? Stirring in truth. Truth of my existence. Truth of why I'm here. Truth. Here you go. You want to have a good year this year? Do this. Put on truth this year in 2024. And tighten it real deep. Because there just might be a few turbulence this year. Okay? It's possibly coming. The world's a mess. So should you be afraid and run? Should you all just go run underneath your beds, get in a fetal position, start sucking your thumb? Is that God's battle plan for you? No. Be strong in the Lord. Be in the strength of His might. His might, not yours. Put on the full armor of God that you will withstand in the evil day, and you are going to stand. There's a defiance in this faith. It's beautiful. How? Put on, fasten the belt of truth. Do that. How you doing? What time is it? Really? Cool. If you said 1:45, you'd be bummed. 11:43, money. What's going through your mind right now? What are you thinking?
Truth.
How you guys doing? You okay?
Yes.
Anybody bored in here on this one? Anybody offended? Sorry. Hey, man. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I want to just be loving. I want to walk in love. And I want to walk in truth. And this is who Jesus is. Did you know He is filled in grace and truth? The embodiment of grace and truth. We speak the truth in love, says the scriptures. Truth is your ally. People, so there was a show I used to watch, Sanford and Sons. Does anyone ever remember Sanford and Sons? With Frank Sanford? Every time a bill came, he would say, just put the bill back in the mailbox. Just put the bill back in the mailbox. The way you deal with your bills is just put it back in the mailbox. Just ignore it. That's not the solution. You deal in truth. People, please tighten the belt of truth on this year. If you do this, you'll have a good year this year. You tighten the belt of truth of Jesus upon your life and in your life and through your life. You just walk in faith in Christ. You realize that this is an amazing God. and you embrace him, you grab hold of him, and you say, Jesus, I am taking you in my life for what you did for me on the cross, and I need a lot of saving. Jesus, help me to be better today and to walk in your ways. And as a child of God, to just learn how to be more like you and less like me, right? Jesus, I just pray for us today. Help us, Lord, to put on truth. Help us, God, to apply truth. Help us, Jesus, to live truth. Help us, Jesus, to be people that live in reality in this earth and in eternity. This is our prayer. In the name of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say,